Hello and welcome to a live edition of the Albion Obsessed podcast. It's a little bit of an impromptu one today. So we've just got Aaron on today. So how are you, Aaron? All good?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Thank you. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. I'm literally sat in the middle of a room full of boxes because we're moving in just under 2 weeks now. So yeah, getting very excited and going to have to take all of this stuff down soon, which isn't going to be fun, but I have to find a new home for all the podcast stuff. Right. What we're going to do today is talk about the Albion's end of season slump. Now, the title that I've put on there is Brighton Already on the Beach. Aaron, we'll just start by just touching on the Man City game because we haven't spoken about that on the channel yet. So do you think with the Man City game, it's just it was Man City and it was to be expected, or did you sort of hope that maybe we might put up a bit more of a fight?
I mean, it's just Man City, isn't it, really? Like you said, and I think we set up all wrong. I don't know why we're trying to play City at their own game. It just made no sense. And it just felt like as soon as we conceded one, and maybe even two, then maybe should have changed the game plan to a certain degree. But we didn't, and it just got gradually worse and worse. We were awful in that game. We didn't really do a great deal going forward, apart from maybe the last knock into the game where Pedro obviously got, well, it was a stonewall penalty. I don't understand how it wasn't given. But other than that, we didn't really create anything. We didn't really do a great deal. It just sort of sums up the sort of the last sort of 6-7 weeks, really.
Yeah, that penalty shout was literally right in front of me where I'm sat, and I couldn't believe it. I sort of looked at a referee expecting him to blow the whistle and expecting myself to sort of celebrate the fact that we might score a goal, but it wasn't to be. And there was another one as well, the Pascal Gross one. What did you make of that one, Aaron?
That wasn't a penalty. Not enough really in it, to be honest. And as soon as he went down, I was like, yeah, no, not a penalty. Just because I think there's not really enough contact for him to go down. And it's just one of those things that happen in football. It's an odd one. Right? If it was given, it'd be very, very soft. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously the return of Jason Steele in goal. Bart Verbruggen took the gloves against Bournemouth today. So do you see that one as a little bit of a weird one? Like, why Jason Steele for one game and then Bart for the next, when Bart had been playing sort of a string of games? I would expected Steele to start today, really, based on the trend. But what would you make of that?
Yeah, it made no sense to me at all. It just, even I had a horrible feeling he was going to start still yesterday on Thursday. Don't know why, I just had that feeling. And as soon as I saw the lineup, I knew it was in for a long evening. It just wasn't it. And I don't know what his obsession is with changing the keepers. Bart was been fantastic the last sort of 6 or 7 games. He barely put a foot wrong in some aspects of the game where, you know, some of the saves he's made still, I don't think, would have made. I think still shot stopping is got to be one of the worst in the league now. Looking at stats, it can't be that high compared to what it was last season anyway. And he was at fault for the third goal. I don't blame Barco for the third goal myself personally, because the ball that still played into Baliba, which then he played into Barco, it should have just gone long. Just get it out there. That the danger would not have existed if that happened. But still played Baliba into trouble, and then Baliba played Barco into trouble. It was stupid. It was naive. It was naive and plain right, just fucking stupid to try and play City in their own game. And I knew it was in for a long, long night when I saw Steele get involved in the players' warm up when they a bit of keep ball, and he was getting involved in it. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is not a good sign. And I said to my dad, I was like, we're going to try and beat them at their own game. It was never going to happen.
Yeah, and you sort of can't do that when, especially when we've got the injury list we've got, and when you're playing inexperienced players who, you know, Barco had barely played a full 90 minutes worth of Premier League football. I don't even think he had played a full 90 minutes worth of Premier League football until that game, and obviously until today. So you're asking very inexperienced players like Belieber, like Barco, to get yourself out of a tough spot. And I think that the thing that I love about Bart Verbruggen is that I feel like he reads the game a little bit better, and he chooses when that pressure is to be sort of brought onto himself, and chooses when to get rid of the pressure when it's too much. And I think if Bart was in goal, I don't think that third goal would have happened. There could have been something else that happened along the way. You know, it's Man City. You're going to make mistakes against Man City. And again, you've got inexperienced players ahead of the defence and in the defence as well. So, that's the annoying thing for me, was that I think Steely just sort of has a bit too much confidence in himself and thinks that, maybe thinks the way De Zerbi's thinking, I'm going to play this way because that's how I've been told to play. I don't know where the blame goes. Is it on De Zerbi for allowing Steele to play that way? Is it on Jason Steele for not just using his experience of the game and getting rid of play? You're the goalkeeper. You tell me, Aaron.
I mean, I had had a similar thing yesterday, funny enough, where we were told to go long. And we played shorter a couple of times, and then we were like getting screened out to go long. And then we went going long, and then I was getting told to play short. I was like, "Well, make your mind up. What do you want me to do?" You obviously go with what the manager says. So if De Zerbi has said, "No, you know, this is the way we play," and then you go, "All right, well, if it's a mistake, it's on him because this is how he wants me to play." But yeah. It goes with experience. He's been around football long enough, Jason Steele, to know when to just fucking get it out and when to play the simple pass.
Yeah,
it's not rocket. Football isn't hard. It really isn't. It can be so simple.
Yeah,
but poor players make it hard, and it's like little things. Like the ball into Belieber for their third goal. Just get it out, man. It's not hard. You're under pressure. You're 2-0 down. You can see two quick goals on the bounce. Just get it out. Get it away as far as away from our goal as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, especially against the best team in the world, which isn't ideal at all. We won't dwell too much on the Man City result because that is what it is. You know, Manchester City are on the title charge that you probably expect them to go out there and win. So we've got a couple of comments in the chat already. Rodders says, "My only demand from the club is Premier League football. I don't know what the fans want." Mavery Football says, "Thought Barco was very good, just unfortunately a mismatch against Semenyo." Yeah, we'll get into today's game in a little while. And Tom says, "We were playing way too risky against City. We definitely shouldn't be playing like that against such a fast, fluent team." Yeah, fully agree as well. Anyone watching, anyone who wants to come and join us on the Albion Obsessed podcast, now is your chance, because we've got me and Aaron today, so we want an extra voice. If you wish to come on the podcast, just drop us a comment and I'll get you a link sent out and you can come and have your say as well. Right, let's not dwell on it too much, Aaron. Let's talk about today. Actually, I want to talk about Rodgers' comment. "My only demand from the club is Premier League football. I don't know what the fans want." My thoughts on that is, we got European football last season. It was incredible. What a fantastic thing for the club to achieve. We had a fantastic group stage, and we showed that we can compete with some of the best teams in Europe, and we have showed that for the last two seasons. I think expectations rise. Yes, it's great that we're a Premier League side, and that's all I want, really, season in, season out. Premier League survival, that's the base, isn't it, really? And then you build on that and succeed further. But I think people are allowed to expect more, Aaron. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I mean, people can expect more, but with success does become sort of, I say success. Yeah, I guess it is success. Becomes higher expectation season upon season. And if we're going to carry on that upward curve, I can't say the word probably.
Yeah, trajectory. Yeah.
That's the word, thank you. My mind went to blank there. Then, you know, we'll be winning the league in 4 years' time. Like, we do need some seasons where we do struggle. We do finish, you know, 11th, 12th, etc. It just sort of puts makes you realise that, okay, maybe, you know, our fans need a bit of a reality check at times, realistically. And we're not like, yes, we had a great run in Europe, you know, but we were never going to win it, regardless of what we would. There's too many. I mean, we were found out in that Roma game. And at that point, it was like, okay, yeah, we're not ready for this yet. Regardless of what happened at home, where we won, they made so many changes. And the fact is, the matter, we, you know, they didn't have Lukaku, which is, regardless of what people think, he's a world-class striker. And he absolutely tore us a new one. Yeah. And it shows. And over time, hopefully, touch wood, we'll be back in Europe and it'll be a regular thing for us. This year, it's not going to happen. You know, I mean, I've been saying since, I think it was some point in end of last month, I said to one of my mates, who's a Newcastle fan, I said to him, he's like, we won't pick another single point up this season. And I'm still certain we won't.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. I understand. Yes, look, we're established Premier League club now. But let's not take that for granted. Like, Leeds were a Premier League club for many, many years, and then went down the shitter. Granted, that's through poor ownership. You know, you've got the likes of, you know, Sunderland again, big club, poor ownership. We're lucky we've got a good owner. That won't happen to us. But we could quite easily go down. And in all fairness, would it be a bad thing? Probably not, in my opinion. It would give, if we were struggling year after year. For example, I'll take Palace as an example. Some of their fans were saying to me last year, mate, I would love to go down to the Championship. I would love to. It'd be a big reset. You know, we can build something again where it went all a bit stale and a bit boring. Yeah. That's the thing. If it ever happened to us, then I would happily go back into the Championship and rebuild and, you know, go again. But I'll touch wood, it never happened. Well, not anytime soon, anyway.
It is a massive, massive risk. Obviously, you run the risk of yo-yoing like Burnley have done over a good few years, and what Southampton might fall into as well if they don't manage to get promoted via the playoffs. Here's a good opportunity to introduce Matthew to the show. Hello, Matthew. How are you doing?
Hello. Pretty good after today. I don't really care about the results anymore. They don't really affect me. But I did go, unfortunately. I did have to witness that. But I'm all good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, all good, mate, all good. Well, my thoughts are with you, first of all, that you have to experience that. Now, I want to draw your attention back to a tweet that you sent out after the first half, Matthew. you said it looked quite positive.
Well, I was just trying to, you know, put a little bit of positivity. Yeah. I saw a lot of negative, you know, slandering players, slandering the way we're playing. To be fair, I did think it was slightly better to, you know, the City game, the Arsenal game. But the second half very quickly proved me wrong. And we were just dire second half.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron was just talking there about we've got four very, very tough fixtures coming up. Aston Villa, Newcastle, Chelsea and Manchester United left to play. Four games left this season. We can't buy a goal, let alone a point. So do you think it is very much season done and dusted now, and just turn up for those games and see what happens, really.
I think it was season done. Brentford, Burnley, to be honest. I'm unfortunately going to Newcastle as well. But let's be honest, we're on the beach by now. That's just going to be a right piss up. So just a day to enjoy ourselves. I would say enjoy the football, enjoy watching Brighton, because we're not going to have football for 2-3 months. But at the moment, it just feels like we're turning up because we have to, if that makes sense. I don't know if that's a little bit reactionary or...
No, I think you're spot on, to be honest. Yeah. And it's in what Roberto De Zerbi is saying after the game as well, that, you know, the players don't have the motivation. So what do they not have the motivation to turn up to Lancing tomorrow morning and recover? Do they not have the motivation to show a little bit as to why they want to play for this football club? Do they not want to show motivation as to wanting to get back to where they were? He talks about the mental side of sort of getting knocked out of Europe and having those disappointments. Surely that shows a little bit of a weak mentality. I'll throw it to any of you two really to jump in on this. A little bit of a weak mentality to see that we've been knocked out of Europe and that's knocked us that badly and haven't got the motivation or the hunger to go back and get it again.
I think it's a tiny bit of a cop-out, in my opinion. Like, I get it. Like, yes, it's a big blow to be out of Europe, and you know, our league form before then wasn't particularly great either. But at the end of the day, you've still got something to fight for. Mm. Like, it's not points, it's not fucking goals, it's a badge on the fucking shirt. A bit of pride. Like, that's all we really ask for as fans. Like, as long as you're fucking giving 110%, there's not much else we can really ask for. But recently, it just feels like we're just, like Matthew said, we're just turning up because we have to. Like, it's weird. Like, I think with Villa on Sunday, it's going to be very... I feel like the atmosphere is going to be very toxic if we go 1-0 down early doors.
Mm.
And that's mad because, you know, this time last year, we were, you know, final push for Europe and, you know, things like that. And we're 365 days later and we're sitting here thinking, like, we can't buy a goal. We can't buy a point. We can't... It just feels very disjointed all of a sudden. And it's been like that, really, since the turn of the year. If we're really putting, even before the injuries and that, we just didn't look like we were clicking for some reason.
Mm.
Like, even like when we played Sheffield United away, I honestly, if they were down to 10, if they didn't get, so if didn't Holgate didn't get sent off, it would have been a very different game.
Yeah,
very different game. And the fact they went down to 10 minutes, it was perfect for us. It was a great opportunity, and we took it. But really, ever since then, we've missed that sort of killer instinct in front of goal, and our build-up play has not been great. Something's not quite right.
When Sheffield United did go down to 10, I think they had sort of like a repeat of the cup game where they scored just before half time and it made it 2-1, and obviously VAR intervened and chalked it off. But if that goal had stood, and it looked dubious anyway, as you say, it could have been a very different game and a completely different outlook. I mean, I tweeted earlier that except for own goals, since February, we've only had two Premier League goal scorers, and that's Lewis Dunk against Everton at home and Danny Welbeck in the first couple of minutes against Liverpool. And then the rest of that game was what it was, and Liverpool dominated. So it is a big problem, Matthew. What, like, do you just put it down to that lack of motivation? Like, how can it be so polar opposite from the end of last season? I know we had a target to hit, but surely De Zerbi setting him a new target to try and keep that motivation up.
Well, I think there's just rumours flying around all over the place at the moment with, you know, De Zerbi. That can't help him. That can't help the squad. I think his head's gone, personally. I think these rumours are just unsettling him. And he comes across as calm in his interviews. I don't think it's that way. I'm pretty sure him and Pedro even had an argument when Pedro got dragged today. as well. So that just proves his head's gone. But
you
see a lot of rubbish on Twitter today, like asking for him to go, and it's pathetic. Just joke.
Yeah.
Who would we get right now that's better, that knows the club and that understands the players as well, other than De Zerbi?
It's a very valid question. Aaron, you're about to say something, mate.
If I'm honest, if he did get sacked, hand on heart, would not surprise me. I mean, is it the right decision? Probably not. But if you look at any other team in the league who's had as poor a run of form as we have, was it like 2 wins in, like, was it 24 now? Something like that? Shooting stupid like that?
6-30, I think.
Yeah. Like, that's relegation form.
Yeah, it is.
Like, that is not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when he gets linked with these big jobs and, like, the media love him, but then when actual fans sit down and think about it, like, yeah, we've not won a home game since Nottingham Forest in March. We've not scored an actual goal in a month. We're not winning games we should do.
Yeah,
there's got to be some question marks. He has to be under a tiny bit of pressure.
Yeah, that's what I tweeted out after the game. I was like, that there has to be some pressure there, and that's not to say get him out. That's not to say he's got to go now. It's to say that surely there is pressure from the board to say this needs to improve. It doesn't need to improve fast, but there has to be ways where we can sort of see what we're doing next, and have that outlook as to what's going to happen next season. And there isn't that stability right now. I think that's what fans are getting quite angry about, is that when he's asked a question about his future, there isn't that class that Xabi Alonso came out with. And I know it's different. It's a different club. They won the league. Don't get me wrong. I think if De Zerbi won the league with us, he would stay, obviously. But there's that little bit of class where Alonso's come out and say, you know what? Sod these rumours. I'm staying here. I'm happy in my job here. And that's what the fans want, right, Matthew? We want a little bit of commitment from the guy that's only been with us sort of 18 months.
Yeah, and Xabi Alonso also has a good head screwed on his shoulders, whereas other managers, Potter, for example, he was not ready to leave. I don't think De Zerbi is either. So if De Zerbi knows what's best for him, then he'll stay.
Yeah.
You know, he's through these hard times, he's going to learn. It's in these moments where you learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's where the true sort of growth is.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. That's a really good point, actually. And what we've got coming up this week is a fans forum. Tony Bloom, Paul Barber and Roberto De Zerbi will be quizzed by Sussex Live. Not Sussex Live, BBC Sussex. And 500-odd fans in the Mailwind Baxter Lounge at the Annex. Probably not an ideal time to be having a fans forum if you're Tony Bloom and Paul Barber. And especially Roberto De Zerbi, I think there will be question marks. Do you think it's a really good opportunity for De Zerbi to come out and sort of settle the fans down and say, do you know what? My head is in this job and I want the best for this football club. Like he did after the game today, he said that the players have to fight for this football club and the fans. Do you see that as a good opportunity for him to come and sort of squash some rumours if he is to do so?
Well, it's first of all, I don't know if the fans are actually going to ask that. Bold question. And will De Zerbi actually mean it? If he says, you know, I'm settled, does he mean it? There's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes as well on the training ground that no one knows about. There could be even a bit of unhappiness on the squad. So, yeah, would he be completely 100% honest in front of Bloom and Barber and in front of the fans as well?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's, as I say, it's an opportunity. It's a chance for them to sort of sit down in the first 10 minutes and say, you know, things aren't ideal at the moment. There was a lot of rumors going around about Roberto's future. And if there is any stability to come from it in terms of him saying, do you know what, I am staying next season, because he's mentioned his contract a lot in press conferences. He said, I'm happy at Brighton and I've got a contract. So is he saying to run his contract down? Will he not sign a new contract? And then the thing for me with that is, if he's only got, what, a year, two?
Yeah,
two
year, years, 1 year, yeah.
So next season, if he's not signing an extension, what's the player's motivation going to be then?
Mm.
And obviously, we've recorded a record profit, and we're going into a transfer window in a really healthy way. He is going to be backed if he stays, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, so no doubt.
If he is backed, would he sign the contract? It's just an absolute mess if you really get into the nitty gritty of it. So, yeah, I mean, Rod is in the comments has said, can you ask why we're £300 million in debt? Because in the end, we have a budget at the club. Well, that debt is to Tony Bloom, and Tony Bloom will only take payments back for the debt if the club are in a healthy position to do so. I believe he received his first ever payment back from the football club after our profits were announced. So that is a debt that Tony Bloom's aware of, the club are aware of. And I don't think it's going to be £300 million that we've got to pay back before the transfer window, and the money that we've made will be reinvested back into the squad. I've seen no comments to say one way or the other, really. And everything is leaning towards the fact that we are going to have a very, very busy summer. So I think that leads into the fans' frustration again towards the end of this season, is the fact that obviously we can't add anyone between now and the end of the season, and that we are looking at a really important summer. So do you think it's just like maybe some of the reactions are because we want to get the season rushed and done so we can then be excited again in August?
Yeah, well, it's just a constant sort of rush of dopamine, the transfer window. You have Bubble and OMB HFC notifications on. And as soon as you see a notification, new rumour, new players, bang, life's good again. but I mean, we really need the transfer window here and now. Get rid of some deadwood, I think.
Who's Lallana, deadwood?
Lallana. He's really good around the squad, which is why he should stay on as sort of a coach, or maybe another year extension if he's not going to play at all. But then you could also argue, what's the point of giving him a contract? Maybe, yeah, just as a coach or something, just have him around. I'd keep Milner around. I think he's actually offered a decent amount when he has played. Webster's got to go. He's been a really good servant for us, and I've slagged him off a bit much, but yeah, he's got to go. Moda, I just don't. There's no doubt he's improved technically, and he's got some sort of technical ability about him nowadays. But he just offers nothing, and I think we're a lot slower going forward when he's in the team. And I think you could tell today we did create even a little bit. You could tell we were quicker going forward, which even today we were really slow going forward at the same time. But even just it's noticeable is what I'm trying to say, the motor isn't there.
Yeah. And Aaron, we're just talking through the transfer window next season. Matthew's saying that there's quite a bit of deadwood to shift. Who would be deadwood in your opinion?
Webster.
Yep.
Start with. I mean, Lallana will probably retire at the end of the season, realistically. If I'm honest, it's probably time to realistically ship Lamptey off. In my opinion, he's just too injury prone now. And granted, he makes an impact when he plays, but it's kind of like a ticking time on when's his next hamstring injury going to be. Is he gonna, which is so sad, because I love Tarek to bits, but it's like, if we're going to, if realistically want to try and compete and stay, you know, in the top six, you know, the top seven would be fine for Europe. We need players who are reliable and actually can make an impact when they play, which he does, but he's just not reliable enough. He's just too injury prone, which is such a shame because, like I said, fantastic player. During lockdown, he was one of our best players.
Yeah.
You know, and when he plays, he does make such an impact. Yeah, I agree with what you were saying about Modda. Our fan base confuses me sometimes. They feel like he's the second coming of Jesus. I don't really understand why he gets all the hype he does. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I just don't think that knee injury has, you kind of lost 2 years of your career in that. And he may need to go elsewhere to regain some form and some actually minutes as well to get back to the level that people think he should be. There's a couple of others, but it's sort of like, you know, like the Steven Alzates and you know, players like that. Like, you know, they're the deadwood realistically. And I think maybe obviously like you've got like the Hood as etc. as well. So it'd be an interesting summer. I mean, we need at least six or seven players.
Yeah.
At the very, very least. And that's made some of them to start, some of them to do with squad depth. Because this year has shown massively I don't think we underestimated how difficult Europe would be, but it's probably been harder than people thought, as in taking a toll on the players physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Beforehand, some of them have dealt with it before. Obviously, you've got the likes of Lallana and etc. dealt with European football for most of their later careers, really. But for the likes of, like, you know, all the youngsters we've got, they're not used to playing Thursday, Sunday from throughout the season. And granted, they get paid to do it, but to play at that higher standard all year for 9 months a year, it'd be very difficult. And I mean, summer would be interesting. I mean, I think you may have said, Matthew, you've got like Owen and Brighton Bubble who are constantly looking at things through Twitter, and which always keeps me up to date. That's literally 90% the reason why I still have Twitter notifications turned on, if I'm honest with you. Other than that, I don't really have them on.
Yeah, another thing to keep an eye on as well. Our very own Dagan runs the transfer tracker. He updates his Excel spreadsheet and basically goes through every single player we've been linked with. It's very time consuming. I don't know how he does it, but fair play to him. Rather him than me. So that is worth looking at on his channels as well, which is BHA Fan USA. And obviously Brighton Bubble, Brighton and Owen, BHAFC are all fantastic as well. So over the summer, be sure to follow them to get all of your latest Brighton and Albion transfer news. Let's talk about the game a little bit. Should we depress ourselves more?
Here we go.
All right. So I think the commentator said seven changes to our starting lineup against Manchester City. Bart Verbruggen came in, Adela Fire from the start, Marco Maione got his first Premier League start, as well as a Fire, obviously. Barco kept his place at left back. I thought that was warranted. I thought he was actually one of the standouts against Man City, if you can have a standout in a 4-0 loss. But I thought he showed some promise. And I thought when the Fire came on as well against Man City, he showed that he's a very capable player that can play in the Premier League for us when called upon. And thought he did well to earn his start, Matthew. Did you think he put in a relatively okay shift to maybe keep his place going forwards, or do you think he's just an option that we're having to fall back on because of the injuries?
Definitely, I thought he was superb, actually. He was unlucky in the sense that he didn't have much for him going forward in terms of his end product and what Buonanotte was doing as well. I think he needed a more natural winger on that side to sort of back him. I thought he's pretty good going forward. He's machine, like running forward. No one's stopping him. He's so fast, so strong. pretty good in a tackle as well, as we saw. But the others as well, Barco, I thought, had a pretty good game. As I said in the chat, unfortunately, it was a physical mismatch against Semenyo, and he got aerially dominated, especially. And he was caught out of position a few times, which is... There's been a bit of discussion saying, should he be played on the wing in midfield? Which I'm all for. He was superb, I thought, on the ball. O'Mahony, I thought his hold-up play was pretty good. And got to say, it reminds me, his technique, his physicality reminds me a lot of Evan Ferguson as well. So, yeah, thought the young player's done all right.
Yeah, there was one chance that fell for Mark, and I think it was a very similar sort of goal or similar goals that Evan Ferguson has bagged for us, where it sort of just rolled wide of the post. He didn't get enough on the shot. And I thought he did really well there. So he's certainly someone that's going to put himself about towards the end of this season and sort of stake a claim as to maybe being in the Zerbi's plans for next season. Just going to read some of the chat as well. Tom says, Moda wants to stay is all I know. In January, I think he turned down a loan from Everton. Probably would have been a good move for him, to be honest.
The thing is, he may want to stay, but it doesn't mean he deserves his plans.
He's not going to have a choice.
No, at the end of the day, he hasn't got the final say. Well, yes, he has got the final say, really, because he can just turn them every move down, but he's not going to be playing. So,
yeah.
Depends. And he's missed out on 2 years of his playing career, so you'd think, yeah, you'll snap at the chance to play fucking first team football. But
true. Rodda says João Pedro is his player of the season. Disappointed with Ansu Fati. I think that's an understatement. Disappointment. Need a midfielder and striker in the summer transfer window. Yeah, I think. You know, we haven't replaced Moises Caicedo. We haven't replaced Alexis McAllister. Can you replace them to the same amount of quality? Probably not. For what the budget that we're looking at. I think there's positions that we need to look at, Aaron.
We still need fullbacks.
Yeah.
Fullbacks is, if not, the main thing we need to get, in my opinion.
Do you think right back is that important given Jack Hinshelwood?
Yes. Because
we're a backup to Hinshelwood. I think Hinshelwood starts.
I agree with that.
I agree, but again, we go back to Lamptey's situation. If he's injured, Veltnam's getting older.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want a someone reasonably young who can learn from Veltnam, who can learn, you know, from the senior players like Milner as well. To be fair,
mm-hmm.
You know, but the thing is with Milner, Milner is a very weird player to have. He's very versatile in almost every position, but he's not fantastic in many of them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, he could do a job, but you wouldn't think, oh, yeah, he's an outstanding right back. He's an outstanding midfielder. Not nowadays, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still, obviously, quality in what he does,
mm-hmm.
but would he start? No. And if you're there for, like, similar to Lallana at the moment, use him for experience.
Yeah.
Use him for experience. That's why I'm a little bit surprised when... If Jordan Henderson became available in this January, like that would be it would have been a very Brightonish sort of signing to sign him and use him for that experience for the youngsters, like we have done with Welbeck, like we have done with Milner, Lallana, etc. But obviously he's gone to Ajax to do whatever he's doing out there with Potter, by the looks of it. But striker. We've been saying this for absolutely years. Like, we need a out-and-out goal scorer, which Pedro is, but he's not an... I prefer him out wide than through the middle myself.
Right.
I think he drifts out wide a lot, and so does Welbeck. Like, Welbeck a lot was drifting out wide today. If you're out there, who's in the middle?
Mm, yeah.
Like, you know, fucking... Be the greedy target man that just stays in the width of the 18-yard box.
Yeah.
You know, just do that bit of your job and we could get something. And a midfielder, a midfielder's also up there. But, I mean, there's one player I would love to sign, but it's not going to happen now because they got promoted. It's Dewsbury Hall.
Yeah.
Like,
to be fair...
Every time I've watched him, he just looks so good. It's ridiculous.
To be fair, I think with Leicester's financial issues, I still think that's a realistic transfer.
How much
United are sniffing around as well, haven't they?
Honestly, 30-40 would be solid.
I mean, I'd do that now, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is if realistically, though, even you say United are interested, Joe, as a youngster, would you really, well, as a youngster, as a professional footballer, would you really want to join United at the moment?
I think...
like, realistically, because they're not an attractive club.
They're not.
They're a mess.
Mm. They're not, but...
They're living in the past and surviving on the past.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Because that club is an absolute mess.
I think players would say, well, it's Manchester United. And I think players maybe put more pressure on themselves and think, I could be the one that changes Manchester United and go in and improve their side drastically.
It's literally a toxic work environment. Extremely toxic.
Yeah, it's a strange one, but as you said, I think they're lucky that they are Manchester United in quotation marks, and they can live off of that history and sell that history to players that want to come and play for a very historic club. But there's no denying that. And obviously, we would say that Brighton's a better prospect. Come on the South Coast, you can live on the beach, you can train at a fantastic training facility, and you can play at a really nice stadium as well. And the fans will most likely love you. But it's tough. It is still tough to battle with Manchester United or another big six club if they do come sniffing around our targets, which is something that is going to happen, because most of the signings we've made over the last few years have been absolutely fantastic, right. And have you know, been touted to move on from us for a lot of money. So I think when we are linked to a player, these big six clubs will say, well, if Brighton are interested, why shouldn't we be? I think that's what we're battling with, really.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but it's just frustrating, isn't it?
Because it just doesn't make sense in football terms.
Yeah, but I get it, because it's the name. But football terms, you're not going to play as much. The toxic environment you've got there, the fans are toxic. Everywhere's just toxic. It's horrible.
Yeah, I will clip this part and I will send it to Dewsbury Hall, and hopefully he makes a makes an educated move in the summer. As you say, he could even stay at Leicester now they've been promoted, and he looked pretty happy in their celebration videos. So it wouldn't surprise me if he signed another contract with them.
All the front, mate, all the front. He wants to play for the famous Sea Pigeons. That's what he wants to do.
Talking of summer transfers, Matthew, do you see any other sort of targets that have taken your fancy? One that's been spoken about, and I don't know what your opinion is of him, if Luton were to get relegated, Ross Barkley to come in to be an experienced figurehead, would you take that as a sign?
Absolutely. Quality player, still got it. He's proven it. I don't see why not. He'd come in maybe on a free. Do you know his contract situation?
No idea.
I don't know if his contract's up this summer or they've got another.
It was only a 12-month deal, and I'd imagine if he gets relegated, he'll want to stay in the Premier League.
Without a doubt, we should go for him. But not just him from Luton. I think they have a couple of decent and would be cheap options. Doughty, I've watched him, he's been quality. He's been
class, yeah.
Cabora's been all right. Adebayo even, but is Adebayo he's not really the striker, the proper number nine we need. Morris is okay. And Kaminsky, but we have God knows how many talented goalkeepers. You saw Beadle yesterday and Rushworth.
Come on, my boy.
But I'm not the person to talk to about transfers. You should get BHM Marshall on. I'm sure he has a couple of ideas.
Yeah, he's more than welcome to come on. As we say, Albion Obsessed, we're a very open house, so anyone's welcome to come on and give their opinion as to what is going on at the Albion. We've got Andrew in the comments saying we have a major issue with scoring goals. Yes, we do. We need strikers to work alongside Pedro and Welbeck and Nciso. We have to do something. We don't have much to do something with at the moment, Andrew. That's the problem. We've only got the options that we've got, and we just have to hope that they come good. I thought Nciso was fantastic today when he came on.
He did. Yeah, he was actually. He seemed to understand the atmosphere in the away end. And after the game, he came over and apologised, put his hands up. He nearly scored a screamer as well, which would have been nice.
Yeah, I thought that was him when I was watching. I can't.
Yeah, so did I.
But is
Undav that striker we need? Could he be that striker?
I would love Undav to come back and do well for us. I thought he was fantastic at the end of last season.
Yeah, so did
some really important goals for us. If it is an option, as you say, I mean, I don't think he will. Probably wants to stay in Germany. I think.
Yeah, he's been bagging goals for fun for Stuttgart.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I saw the score against Leverkusen. They were 2-0 up. We were on the way home from East Preston. And I was like, I assume Undav scored. And my mate was like, yeah, how did you know? I was like, he always scores. Like, he's been doing so well out there, which is great to see because he became really likable before he left. Like, everyone was like, oh, no, I'm actually starting to believe in him a little bit more now. Because beforehand, it was like, oh, he's just another little bit of another more pay kind of thing.
I think it's that human side came out, didn't it? Where it was made known to the fans that he was going through a really rough spot and something bad had happened in his life where he sort of needed to get back to Germany. And when he scored that first Premier League goal, he was very visibly emotional, which was so good to see. And the squad loved him as well. You could see how much they sort of rallied around him when he did score goals and how happy they were for him. As you say, is that sort of Malpay type, and you sort of just endear to him because he's your massive physical striker who's going to bag you some goals and give a little bit of that when he scores. I just love it. It's been a fantastic season for him this season. Obviously getting his first ever Germany call up, and obviously a Bundesliga Player of the Month award as well a few months ago. So, it's going to be hard to convince him to come back, and I think he's doing so well because he's somewhere that he's happy playing football. It's just up to Stuttgart really whether they want to pay that £20 million. That's true.
If they can afford, they should be able to. Let's be real as well. They're getting Champions League, I think, as well. So they're going to have money coming in from that. Yeah. And obviously,
they said if they get Champions League, they'll do it. Is what I've seen on Twitter. But if they don't, they can't afford to.
Yeah,
it's crazy because Stuttgart are a big club in Germany. It's very strange that they can't even afford 20 mil. But obviously, we're saying this because we're the only club in Premier League history to get a stupid amount of profit. But it's odd. It's a very odd one.
I forgot what I was going to say about him. De Zerbi said, quoted about a month ago, saying Dennis Undav comes back next season. So I don't know what that's about.
Will he be here at the end of the season?
De Zerbi's going to Stuttgart, confirmed. It's going to work with him.
To be fair, swap deal with who's our manager? I forgot his name. But he's been doing wonders. That could be another option if the Zerbi does leave.
There you go. Lots of things to ponder as we go into next season, for sure.
Couple of names I've got as well, to be fair. Like Kieran McKenna, for me, I think his Ipswich teams look decent when I've watched him. Really good. And he's done wonders with United youth team as well when he was up there for a long time.
Yeah.
Like he's another shout. Just all ifs and buts in it. We'll probably end up, if De Zerbi does go, be some random person no one's heard of before, and he'll turn out to be the next Pep Guardiola for 2 years and then get pinched again.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about Amorim from Sporting. But he does have a 20 million release clause, and we can afford that, but it would be, would we want to commit on someone who's only had four seasons in the Portuguese league?
And would we want to commit to someone who goes to a meeting with West Ham and
that is true.
Because he knew that he'd made a little bit of a boo-boo. The meeting clearly didn't go well. And then he's had to go and apologise to the Sporting fans and his players. So I think that's a bit dodgy.
I'm all for bringing Gyökeres home, though.
Could you imagine? Jesus.
Yeah.
I was saying this to someone on the bus on the Parker ride on the way back to the car Thursday. And I said, they're like, oh, you know, Gyökeres is the one that got away. And I was thinking, probably if he never left us, he wouldn't be the player he was.
Yeah, I'm about that. He was crap.
100%. Like, he needed that time away, and Coventry done him absolute wonders. And then he started to get his confidence. And now he's banging goals left, right, and centre in Portugal, and I can link with all these big clubs, and fair play to him. Like, he's matured, and he is one, you know, I understand why people say, oh, he's the one that got away. Not necessarily. He can stay at Brighton for another 3 or 4 years, we would never have seen what the player is now.
Yeah, there's a lot of players like that, though. Like, it's a little bit different level, but Kai Havertz, when he went to Chelsea, wasn't as good as he has been at Arsenal. And you need that revitalization. A lot of people are saying Marcus Rashford should leave Man United to get back to the player that he is. So it's whether you make the right move at the right time. And I think that falls onto Ansu Fati as well. He's made the wrong move at the wrong time. And it's unfortunately came that he's had a torrid time of injuries, and something that the club should have looked at really before bringing him on just a loan is that you're not going to get the best out of him if he's an injury-prone player. And he got into a little bit of a purple patch in Europe, scored a couple of goals against Ajax, and then got injured and hasn't been back since, really. So it's all about, for players, just making the right move at the right time and being happy where you are, like Dennis Undav.
I think we should sign Ansu. I think
glad you said that.
I've seen enough to think he's a brilliant player, obviously a really talented player. Is it just the pressure of the loan, the pressure of having to perform
every single game,
every week?
Yeah.
That's on his back, that's killing him.
Yeah. That's very true.
Say we get him for, pick him up for 30, 40 million. And if he was willing to take a big wage cut as well, you see a few players that have taken big wage cuts to get their career back on track. Mm. So who knows? He seemed happy enough down there. You know, he's linking up with the South American boys. So why not? I think it's worth a punt. Yeah,
I agree. I understand the disappointment of, he's not lived up to the hype.
Mm.
But you've got to remember, it's his first move away from Barcelona on his own as an 80, or how old is he now?
Like 21,
isn't he? Yeah. 21. A 21-year-old who took the number 10 shirt from an icon who's had pressure all his life. It's a lot to live up to. He's going to have shit seasons. Like, he is just a kid.
Yeah.
He's just a kid. And he's done more than enough to either warrant at least another loan, or if we do even sign him permanently, even better for me.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I know the boys in the group chat will be losing their head. They're saying, oh, he's been such a flop. He's not been a flop. You just said, had very high expectations of how he should play because of his name, where he's come from, and who he's took over.
Yeah.
You know, realistically, he's never going to live up to that hype of being the Barcelona's next Messi.
Yeah.
Never. So just get that out the window, because that's what I think a lot of people are expecting.
Yeah, I think
he's just a kid in a brand new league, in a brand new country.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell, give him a little bit of a break. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's difficult. It's difficult. It really is. But then it comes down to expectations again, like we said earlier. Some fans' expectations are way too fucking high.
Yeah.
With success becomes high expectation, but Christ, like, the fact we're sitting here thinking, wait a minute, we can finish like 13th in the Premier League. Imagine saying that in our first season. we'll be fucking buzzing. Like our first season of Premier League, like, finishing 14th, that's unreal. Like, what a season.
Yeah.
And that was only, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all knew this was going to happen, though. Just a sidestep.
It had to.
Yeah.
You can't be on the upward curve as much as we have been. And like I said to Joe earlier, if we were, we'd be winning the league in 4 years' time.
Yeah.
If that's how for some fans think, oh, we got into Europe, the next step is going to go into Champions League, next step is to freaking win the FA Cup, then we'll go on and win the leagues. And the fuck was that going to happen? We're never going to win the league. Regardless of... Because, you know, the other... You've got City, Liverpool, Arsenal, then you've got the rest, realistically.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Chelsea can spend as much as they want, they're still shit. They'll always be shit. They're a toxic club. United are the same. And then Tottenham are just Tottenham. They'll bottle it and always finish fourth. And then the likes of like Villa and Newcastle, they're the only exceptions of actually breaking into the top four or into the top six.
Yeah.
And then there should realistically be us, really. We should be the ones pushing up there. This year it's not happened. All right, fair enough. We go again next year. Like, you know, as long as it doesn't now become, 14th, it's a really terrible season. Like, what on earth's going on? Blah blah blah. And it's like that. If we go a bit of a stale sort of 2-3 years, all right, fair enough. Then, you know, maybe we do look for a change, or maybe we need to, you know, lower our expectations. But I don't think it will happen. I think this year's just a blip. Europe, you know, obviously took it out of the players, and that is how it is. It happens to every club, club.
Thing is, Aaron, if you could guarantee to me that, as you say, we have a stale 2-3 years and those stale years are being in the Premier League and having an opportunity to build throughout that period, it's not a bad thing at all. You're in the Premier League, you're getting Premier League money, you're getting Premier League TV broadcasting money as well. I think perspective when things are tough is everything. And the fact of the matter is, people will berate me for saying it, we're not going to get relegated this season. We're going to be in the Premier League next year. Yeah. We're going to have the chance to do something else. We've taken 4 steps back to hopefully go 5 steps forward. And if that's the way we progress, that's the way we progress. I've got full faith in this football club, full faith in the board, that they're going to do everything they possibly can to get us back to where the fans expect us to be and want us to be. And I think it's going to be a really exciting summer ahead and a good season. So I think what we need is to get this season out of the way, 4 more games to go and see where we're at come August in terms of the squad that we're going to take forward. Andrew says, today's game was embarrassing considering the City game. I was expecting us to be much better. Unfortunately, we are out of ideas. Massive game next weekend against Villa. They're probably going to smash us. The players lost themselves? I think the players have done exactly what Deservey said. They've lost motivation. They want this season to end, and they're on the beach.
I think the thing is, you can't expect to go to Bournemouth and win.
No.
Because there's no easy game in the Premier League. There's not. And bear in mind, Bournemouth are banging form as well. They are banging form. I mean, they're unbeaten at home in 6.
Right.
You know, or 5, but then 6 today.
Yeah.
Like, that's, for Bournemouth, that's unheard of. I think the last time I did that was under Eddie Howe in, like, 2018, when he was the first stint in the Premier League. Like, we never do well at Dean Court, ever since I've started. I've been down there 4 times, and I've seen them score 1 goal and never picked up a point.
Jeez.
So, I mean...
It's a tough place to go.
This is going back from fucking League One days.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it happens. But the fact you think you can rock up and expect to win at Bournemouth, yes, where they're a team you think, oh no, we should win that. No.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's a tough place to go. And they've just hit their record points tally in the Premier League as well. So, you know, you had to give credit to their coach as well. Everyone wrote him off when he came in. Everyone thought Bournemouth would be in a relegation battle, and they haven't been. Dominic Solanke's got 18 goals this season in the Premier League and is a shoe-in to hopefully go to the Euros and be the backup to Kane, I think he's well within his rights to be on that plane. So they've got some really good players, and that showed today. So as much as we say that we were embarrassing or we weren't good enough, you have to give credit to the opposition and say...
I thought they were good.
They were.
I was a bit, not surprised, because that's a bit disrespectful, but I was a little bit like, oh, shit. So, okay, I can actually see how they... I mean, they battered United down there.
Yeah.
They were very good against Wolves as well midweek.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I can see them being a threat. And I always thought, how is Solanke scoring all these goals? But when you've got like Julian Kluivert and, you know, Semedo? No, is that
Semedo? Yeah, he's a great player.
Like, they look really good. I thought Kluivert was brilliant today. He deserved his goal.
Yeah.
Like, he sat dunked down on his ass yet again, but things like that frustrate me. You can never expect to win any game in the Premier League.
Yeah,
that's ever. True. Except when you play Chelsea, because you can't expect that.
I think you can expect to go and give a better account of yourselves. I don't think 100%. We gave the best of ourselves today at all. 100%. So I think when you lose and you play well, you can go fair enough, but when you haven't played as well as you can, and we haven't done for many games so far, you just grow more frustrated. So I can see both sides of the coin, really. I'm not going to ask, obviously, for a player of the match, because that's just ridiculous. So what I will ask, as we go four games to the end of the season, I'm going to ask for your player of the season, Aaron.
Mine is... There's two real count, or three, actually. Either João Pedro, Van Heek, or Gross. It's one of those three for me. I mean, Van Heek has been... I was very surprised, actually, with Van Heek. I didn't think he would be as fantastic as he has been. He's been our best defender this year, by far.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I don't know if it's because Dunks had such a, not a fall off, because that's a bit of a harsh, that's quite harsh, but he's not been as good as he normally has been.
Yeah.
That Van Heek sort of shown, but like, as in stepped up. Yeah. But yeah, it's, those three for me.
Fair enough. Matthew, who'd be your player?
I'm just going to mirror that. I think, obviously, Pedro's had a brilliant season. What is it? 20 goals or something in all comps. But yeah, Van Heek came off last season. He had a good performance against Haaland at the end of last season. But apart from that, everyone thought, look, this one performance, can he really offer that over the length of the season? And he has. He's been, again, our best defender, I think. And just completely unexpected. He's been really unlucky not to get a call up to the Dutch team as well, I think, especially given the problems they've had in defence. I don't think De Ligt's been amazing, and
a couple
of others. Yeah, well, he's been pretty good, but to be fair, Van de Ven's struggling to get in the first team.
Yeah, that says a lot. I mean, I watched it today. They conceded three goals, but Jesus Christ, he's a good player.
He's a monster. He's so fast,
rapid. I've never seen a centre-back that quick.
Yeah,
madness. Yeah.
And he's got a knack for getting a goal as well.
Yeah,
he does. I know it's got chalked off today.
But... Oh, that's a rocket. Yeah, wasn't it? Forest, I think. Yeah, watch that.
That was an unreal finish. Yeah.
But yeah, I think Van Heek, just because the expectations were that low, and he's been that good.
Yeah, I think even with the preseason, when you got the red card, everyone thought, oh gosh, this is going to be our...
That was hilarious. That was hilarious.
I mean, it's against Chelsea, and, you know, I would have done that. You would have done that. Aaron would have done that 100%.
Yeah.
So he's just doing what the fans want. Van Heek, I think you've convinced me, Matthew, for sure, would be the player of the season for me this year. João Pedro's been fantastic, obviously, getting that many goals and being the main guy at those clutch moments in the Europa League group stages. That goal against Marseille will live in my memory forever.
Yeah. The thing is with player of the season, there's the player of the season curse.
Yeah, true.
And if we are going to lose, I don't think we'll lose any of our big players this summer because of injuries. But if we are to lose someone, then Van Hek would be up there. But the good thing is he doesn't really get like much recognition by anyone. And it's strange because he comes in and he drops, what, 8 out of 10s every game, pretty much. It's good. It's brilliant.
It's good. It's very good. So any top six management watching this, they're definitely not watching this. In case they are,
who knows?
Van Hekker is shit. You don't want him. Stay away.
Future captain as well.
Yeah, 100%. Andrew Garfield says, do you think the whole De Zerbi situation has brought the team down, considering we were enjoying Europe so much? Bournemouth were good, but we are Brighton of Albion, and the fans will back and follow this team. Yeah, we'll always be there, no matter what. I think the De Zerbi situation has brought the team down. I think it's clear to see, especially when he's coming out saying they're not motivated. It's up to the manager to motivate them, in my opinion.
Yeah,
the highs of Europe and then to be dumped out of it in an emphatic way by Roma must have been heartbreaking for them, but they should have shown more in that first leg. De Zerbi should have been tactically better in that first leg and ground out a decent enough result for us to take them back to the Amex and play as well as we did against them at the Amex. I thought we were great. We beat them. So I think there was every chance that, every opportunity that we could have had against Roma to go there and not get smacked 4-0. So it's on De Zerbi, it's on the players, and they have to bounce back from it, in my opinion.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, right.
Seems like Van Hekker was a popular choice as well.
Yeah, Roddy just said Van Hekker owned Haaland. Yeah, and Phil says my player of the season is Jean-Paul Van Hekker. Let's hope that the player of the season curse does not carry through this time round. We will sign off from the Albion Obsessed podcast now. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, cheers, Matthew. Appreciate that, mate.
Very welcome.
And Aaron, good to chat to you, mate.
Yes, mate. Yeah. It's been a while. It's nice to be back on. And we go again on Sunday, I guess.
We go again on Sunday.
I won't be there. I'm working.
If we have to.
I think that's a blessing, I think.
Yeah.
I'm working. So, praise the Lord.
We'll be there. We'll be there no matter what.
Yeah.
They say. All that's left for me to say is that if you do like football shirts as much as I do, as much as Matthew does, clearly behind him there's some lovely football shirts in frames there. Go to oneklopshop.com, enter code ALBIONOBSESSED at checkout, and you'll get yourself 10% off of whatever you order from that website. So it's a no-brainer. Go and do it and tell them Albion Obsessed sent you. All that's left for me to say is wherever you may be, whenever you may be, have a good one, guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.